Welcome to those of you joining us in our virtual service today. We have a kind of a unique morning, so I trust that you will join us with a wholeheartedness. And if in your heart there is a desire to follow up with some of the things that are presented, please get in touch with us through the website. There's email and telephone options there. We would love to interact with you. We're going to pray as we take a launch into a little bit about compassion and children's sponsorship. So Lord, open our hearts, make us ready to receive. You are a God of compassion, of mercy, of love, and of grace. If we know Jesus as our Savior, then we have seen it in our own lives. We just are overflowing with gratitude for what you have done for us. And we pray that as we consider some things this morning, you would touch us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had to ask God to forgive me for something the other day. It was my grumbling about restaurant prices. And I kind of smacked me in the face as I was doing a little bit of research to open this service, that I'm just blessed that not once in my life have I gone to bed hungry because I didn't have food. So maybe there's something we can do about the global economy, but there's also something that we can consider to do about those who find themselves squashed by the world. Food for the Hungry does a lot of study on this because they raise resources to distribute to the world in need. These are kind of staggering numbers. Across the world, 828 million people will go to bed hungry tonight. 250 million will face acute food insecurity and are in need of urgent assistance. Last year, 150 million children were stunted in their growth due to the chronic lack of adequate nutrition. And 45 million children are estimated to have suffered from wasting, which is the most severe form of food necessity. A child is pushed into severe malnutrition every minute. And a pregnant woman or newborn dies every 7 seconds from lack of adequate care. Now, more than just abstract statistics, and we can argue the statistics, just get the weight. Every one of the children who falls within those is a unique individual created by God and for whom he cares and sent his son to die. The global malnutrition problem just seems to keep increasing. The problems of the world keep multiplying. I think many of you are fully aware of those, but we're facing more of them even over this weekend as another war breaks out in the world. And we are a compassionate church. Compassionate to reach out to people in need and to minister to their physical needs as well as to reach their spiritual needs. If you track it, roughly 25% of every dollar you give is invested in missions, a part of which deals with these kinds of problems. And in recent years, nearly or exceeding another 25% of our income has been donated year-end to those projects. And yet we still fall prey to a couple of problems. I know I'm not the only one. I can identify these because I have experienced them. The first one is compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue is variously defined, but generally it has the sense of, I am just overwhelmed with all of the need around me. that I just kind of want to stand back from it. It just wears me out. We as a church have helped with floods. We have helped with fires. We have helped with people beset by hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and wars and human trafficking and homelessness and addictions, and the list keeps going on. And every day the needs keep coming. And sometimes our heart to cope just gets a little thick-skinned. Each of us, God has granted resources. And He asks each of us individually or as a family to steward those as He would direct us. Some of you may choose at the end of this service to steward some of those resources in a way to help children in particular who are underserved. There are many options for how we can do this. Child sponsorship is one that many have found very effective. And it's a way to direct our compassion fatigue into a particular point of touch, and it helps us to not feel responsible for every need, because that just overwhelms us. If we get overwhelmed, then we fall into the second problem, which is compassion avoidance. We just kind of put up a wall and insulate ourselves and say, somebody else is going to take care of it. I just got to get out of the way. And I'm really sorry for those people's needs. I just can't be involved. We have legitimate questions. Like, some of those needs come because of the foolish decisions of the people themselves. And when they make those choices, it's natural to wonder, so am I then responsible to pick up all of the pieces of their problems, their parents' problems, their generational sin problems? And we wrestle with that kind of a question. But then we also have to come back and wrestle with the fact that the Bible instructs and commands us to be compassionate, because God has been compassionate to us. I love walking on the beach. I love watching the waves, along with the wildlife. Those waves just keep coming. They roll in one after another. And sometimes I find it is helpful to me to sit down on the pages of Scripture and let the waves of a particular truth come at me one after another after another. So I'm sorry you get to sit on my wave set this morning. Colossians 3:12, let as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, along with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Mark chapter 8, Jesus is feeding the 4,000 on a hillside. He says to his disciples, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. In Matthew 20, we find the account of Jesus in meeting two blind men as he came out of Jericho. And the text says there that he was moved with compassion, and he touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. In Mark 1, there is a leper who approaches him, asking Jesus for his intervention. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, the scripture says, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. By the way, all these references are on your outline, so don't worry. Just let it wash. Zechariah, Old Testament prophet, chapter 7. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion, each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow or the orphan or the stranger or the poor, nor devise evil in your hearts against each other. Deuteronomy 10, Moses is preparing the children of Israel to enter the promised land. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who does not show partiality or take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and he shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. Ezekiel chapter 22, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. Now here's the sticking point for Ezekiel's message. The Lord says, I searched for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap for me in the land so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. James chapter 1, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows, or the orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. There are a lot more if you want to look them up. The waves do keep coming. Today our missions team wants to stick one finger in the proverbial dike of world need and compassion response by giving you exposure to and an opportunity, if God would so lead you, to participate. And that's what broadly falls under this umbrella of child sponsorship. The idea is that an individual or family takes on a measure of support for a person in need so that those who are undereducated, who are undernourished, who are underserved and under-evangelized can have all of those needs met. The genius of child sponsorship, as I understand it, is that it gives an opportunity for us to participate in a way that would be virtually impossible for us to do by ourselves. To find, to vet, to deliver the resources to the people who are truly in need. That's what these organizations have done on our behalf. And then just make for us an opportunity to help. So we're going to have three people share this morning representing three different ministries. These are all child sponsorship opportunities that people in our church family are connected with, and many of you have already invested in. And we appreciate that you are doing that. First, Valerie Johnson is going to share with us briefly about Compassion International. And then Shea Kepke will talk to us about Bridges for Justice, that is currently really focused on the children who live in the brick kilns in India. And then Ron and Jean Hawkins will talk to us about the orphanage Niños de Baja that we have as a church have been long in partnership with. At the end of the service, they will each have a table in Byer Hall. They have materials displayed there. They can answer questions if you have additional questions. They have picture cards with actual children that you could choose if you wanted. If it's not possible for you to stay and you would still like some more information, we can connect people with you following today. Use one of those little connect cards that's in the pocket in front of you, or call or email the office. We'll refer you to someone. If it's a particular group that you have the most interest in, just let us know and we'll make sure you get to the right person. And I'm going to hand it off to Valerie, and she's going to get us started.
Here's a picture of Abigail Presendu. He is my current child. He's 18, and he's going to graduate from the program at age 22. Here he is, the maestro of the church choir, and he has a little one next to him. I love that picture. This is what he looked like when we got him. We have watched him grow and pursue God's word. He loves music and wants to get into art and design. I brought my scrapbook of the first six children we sponsored with some of their letters, and that'll be on my table. Child sponsorship began in our hearts when my daughter was smitten by the starvation children that she saw in ads on TV. When Jim and I married in 1986, he had a compassion child. As a family of six, we read the letters at the kitchen table and prayed for them. We loved entering into the life of a child we could help. It was good for us to get a glimpse of how children live in developing countries. By the time our kids moved out, Jim and I were both advocates for compassion. We have been devoted to these children and continually so impressed by this ministry. Let's watch the video.
My grandfather used to say, God is with us, and God will always be with us. Every time that we had the Lord's Resistance Army or the LRA were in a village, it was fear. The fear of being abducted and being trained to become child soldiers. All the hats were burnt to the ground. I felt hopeless. No food, no water. It sent me into silence. My grandfather used to give us candy for memorizing Bible verses. It gave me hope. When the war intensified, my grandfather put me on a bus to live with my mother. My mother did not share much about her life because she had her own struggles. But I remember this Saturday. She woke me up and she said, I'm taking you to church. I saw children laughing. I had no idea what was going on, but I knew this was a good thing.
Give me that smile. Malakwa. Beautiful.
And my life was forever changed. That same month, I got a letter from my husband and wife. And the letter said they loved me. And at that moment, I had hope that everything would be okay. Growing up, my compassion sponsors encouraged me and continually spoke truth into my life. The Compassion Project became a place of healing and restoration. It was a place of refuge for me. I got medical care. I got an education. And it became a great reminder of the Jesus that my grandfather introduced me to at the age of 5. If you're thinking about sponsoring a child, I would say act. Sponsor a child. Because for me, my life was forever changed. And you can do that too.
So here's another verse. In 1 John 3:18, it says, Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Today I invite you to invest in the future of a child living in poverty. Your sponsorship connects the child to a local church that will ensure his growth and development. He will be able to build a relationship with the child through letter writing. You can even write online if that's easier for you. But keep the translator in mind as you are writing. Sponsorship is $43 a month. If you are able to pay an additional $7, it will go to Global Food Crisis Relief, a compassion program. Sponsorship begins when the first payment is processed at the headquarters, which is in Colorado. You will have an account, which is very useful, and you can find out more about your child. More than 80% of funds goes to programs. We are a founding member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we are rated high by other watchdog agencies. Regarding gifts, all gifts have to be monetary. Birthday gifts and a graduation gift go entirely to the child. Center staff members who spend time with your child will help them buy something they need or want. Typically, it's clothes, but it could be something else, maybe even a goat. You will get a thank you letter. Some children are very detailed in their accounting about how the money was spent. Your Christmas gift goes to the project so that all the children receive a gift. All dollars are tax deductible. You can send something flat in your letters, like a picture or postcard, but be sure to put the child's country number on it. Today, I have quite a few older boys who need a sponsor. Either they entered the program later, or more likely, they lost their sponsor. Either way, they still need funding, they need encouragement, and they need your prayers. When you sponsor, you'll not only offer hope to a child who needs it, but you'll find fulfillment in your own life as you live out and obey God's command to love with actions and in truth. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning. Scam. Okay, John, would you put the video on?
God of justice, Savior to all, came to rescue the weak and the poor, chose to serve and the needy served. Jesus, you have called us, freely we receive now, freely we will give. We must go, lift us, feed the hungry, stand beside the broken. We must go, stepping forward, keep us from just singing, move us into action. We must go. To act justly, every day, loving mercy in every way, walking humbly before you, God. You have shown us what you require, freely we've received now. Freely we will give, we must go, live to feed the hungry.
I'm so happy to extend greetings from India to Cayucas Community Church. First, we want to thank the Lord and you for sending our sister Che to India so many times to serve in the name of Jesus. She has been such a blessing. Knowing Che helps us to feel connected to you also. I lead an organization called Kindness and Care. We partner with Bridges for Justice to bring God's kindness and His compassionate care to very needy children and vulnerable children and women at risk being trafficked. The children living and working in brick lanes lack basic necessities and human rights. They are not even allowed to go to school. The Brick Lane Children's Program is bringing education to them right in a room in the Brick Lane. Besides basic education, we provide nutrition, health instruction, positive socialization, and most importantly, an opportunity to share the gospel message. Our goal is to bring transformation not only to the child, but to the family and community. Right now, there are 30 children in the program, but soon we are expecting 75 more. Please consider joining us in prayer and giving for the children's sake. Just $20 a month provides for the cost of one child in this program. As we partner together to meet needs, we decrease vulnerability to schemes of traffickers and bring the light of God's love to those in need. Each life is precious. Both prayer and funds are needed to bring hope and new life to the Brick Lane children and their families. Together can be bridges of God's love to those in great need.
I don't have much to say after that. Thank you. Thank you so much for sending me so many times to short-term mission to India, Thailand, Mongolia. I started Mongolia way back in this church. And mostly I went to India for last 15 years. Well, 2000, that's what I started in India. But anyway, I think that video shows the needs of these children in the brick kiln factory areas. I used to see this big smokestack, just like a Morro Bay. When you go, you see it, you just wonder what's going on. That's what I did on the train from Calcutta to border of Bangladesh, the Bashahat, where I went to teach those sewing to the ladies of human trafficking. Anyway, I always wonder what's going on in the press. From nowhere, just huge press, but yet there's not. And then God just opened the door to bring care and also the gospel to the people in the one of them. There are many more, but these first 30 children are educated, been cared for, loved, and gospel is going out from this one place. And I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. Anyway, I think it's just so, that's all I can say. And, there's no words that I have this joy this morning to share with you. You know, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and you clothed me when I was naked, and you visited me when I was sick and in prison. That was Matthew 25. I read that over and over. And Jesus said, when you do these little things, the least of these brothers you're doing onto me. So it touched my heart when I read over. And then last night, this scripture comforted me again to share this with you, because in evening devotion it came up. God is amazing God. Amazing God. And thank you so much again. Thank you.
Good morning, church. As many of you know, Jean and I were called in 2012 to go down to a Christian orphanage in Mexico, Niños de Baja. We actually moved down there for 4 years and lived down there running the program to build new dormitories, new buildings for the kids down there and work with them. As grandparents, it was really easy to fall in love with our kids down there. We have about 40 or 50 grandkids down there. We love every one of them. So where do these kids come from? The one thing that the Mexican government does correct is their social services. They have a really good program down there. Social services in the area where we were, which is just outside of the city of Ensenada, goes out all the time looking for kids on the street, and they find loads of them. When they find them, they try to connect them back with a parent or something, but that doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, the kids have been abandoned and just left to get by on their own. These kids can be as young as a year old. Often we had kids 6 or 7 years old that had siblings 2 and 3 years old that they were taking care of. Anyway, social services would pick them up. If they could not find a family, they would bring them to one of the orphanages. And our orphanage was one of their favorite ones to bring it to. It was a Christian organization. They recognized that. So let's take a look at these kids. that's our grandkids. As you probably noticed in these pictures, most of them are smiling. They didn't show up that way. We so often watch the social services car drive up with a young child, bring the young child into the orphanage, and that child would be crying, would be shattered, wouldn't know what was going on. And the bright side of that story is that within a week, they would be smiling like these kids here. So the structure of Niños, the staff, and how it's organized is very simple. Every bit of the money that is donated goes to the running of the orphanage. At the top of the pile is Juan and Carla Rodriguez. They grew up not in the orphanage, but at a very early age working at the orphanage, and they now administer the whole orphanage. Under them are the house parents. We have five houses, and the kids are assigned to a house, divided into a house, based on their age and their gender, approximately 8 to 10 kids per house.
You'll be the parent.
Yeah. Under the house parents are the Tias and Tios. That in English is the uncles and aunts. These are the ones that make the whole thing work. They do the cleaning. They do the daily care. They do the meals. They do the laundry. But most of all, they love the kids. They love those kids. And then under them is the maintenance staff, which just keeps everything functioning, gardening and
Hot water heaters.
Hot water heaters. Ten different washing machines that are going all day long every day. And so the maintenance guys do a great job on that. Now, the budget for the orphanage runs around $800 per kid per month. So if you figure $800 times 40 kids, $32,000. It takes a lot of money to run that. The source of the funds, number one, the Mexican government. Nothing. Nada. Zero. They don't give our orphanage or any orphanage a penny. The second source is the U.S. churches like ours. Our church has been supporting Niños de Baja for some 10 years now. And those monies from churches all over, mostly the Western United States, are combined to help run the church. The third item is what we've been speaking of here today, is the sponsorships. You can sponsor a child at Niños de Baja. We suggest $40 a month, but it's up to you. And that goes into, instead of, it's a little bit different than compassion. It does not go to the specific child. It goes to the general fund of the orphanage. But 100% of that goes to running the orphanage, buying food, buying clothes, just everything it takes to run the orphanage. Once you sign up, you'll be assigned a child and given their information. Our sponsorship program asks about five things of you. Number one, that you pray for the child regularly. Number two, that you encourage your child's spiritual growth. For example, you could send a Spanish language children's Bible to your child. Number three, that you remember your child on Christmas and their birthday, which you will be told when that is, when you sign up. During the year, you can send notes, cards, stickers, postcards, or anything like that down. It's very easy to get things down. It goes to a post office box in Thousand Oaks, and then those are gathered up and taken over the border once a month or once every couple of weeks. And finally, if you send your monthly contribution to Niños,
it will help support your child. Your donation is tax deductible. Signing up is easy. The easiest way, although maybe not for all of us grand folks here, is to go online. It's a very simple process there. But if you would rather just fill out the old-fashioned form by hand, we have some of those forms. You mail it in. Anyway, we love our grandkids. We'd love you to help them. Thank you.
Options, open doors. You can pray for these kids if you do nothing else. You're welcome to come in and get additional information. As you kind of got the drift, each of these organizations is structured a little bit differently. They administer these programs differently, and the various reps will be at their tables. They can explain more of that in detail. We also, as a church, have a scholarship fund that supports the kids at Niños, and we are currently providing high school education for six high schoolers and one that is now in college, and assisting them in going forward, because once they turn 18, that very fine rescue operation says you're back on the street. And they can't stay at the orphanage, and it's up to them to find their way. So these are different ways. If some of that is of interest to you, you can also talk to one of us about how to support that if you chose. We're going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray, and then we're going to go get some goodies and learn some more information. Welcome, Andrew. I see a hand. What's that? No, I forgot. We'll do it next week. Thank you for asking. My apologies. That one went out the window. Lord, we're grateful that you allow us to engage with people and be agents of your love, your mercy, and your gospel. For all of the pictures that we have seen here, there are lives and families. We pray that they might come passionately to know Jesus, to live for him and serve him. We pray for these organizations and their teams that serve these kids, that make all of the arrangements day in and day out, prepare lessons, prepare meals, shop for them, take care of them when they're sick, love on them day by day. And we pray that you would raise up from us those hearts and minds and desires that you have, that we might be a partner in this. Again, we thank you for all that you have provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Farewell to our virtual family. Sorry, no virtual cookies, but the rest of you can come enjoy.